I'm telling you, I got something to explode on this morning. I'm really, this worship. Lord God, makes my job so easy when you entered into the presence of God. And we applaud our praise team. They work so hard. They're perfectionists, so they'll work on a song over and over. I had to leave practice one night because I don't have the patience I used to have. I said, my God, Penny, do something. That's my wife. I said, that sounds horrible. And they all sound like that when they start. I mean, they press through those times until they step to the pulpit and they give it all they give. So I want to recognize you guys. Appreciate you so dearly. Appreciate your hard work. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Somebody got one of my hankies anyway. It says abundant life. Amen. Got M on that one. All right. Haggai chapter 2. You found it, didn't you? Hold your place for a minute. Let me kind of build a little foundation for you. You know, I start slow and wind up. So I've already purposed in my heart, this is going to be a belly washer here. I'm preaching to me this morning. Whether you get excited or not, I'm preaching to me. I told Penny something this morning I really didn't mean to say. I said, I hope I get to preach today. Normally, I hope the Holy Ghost moves, but I really wanted to preach a sermon today for me. We are going up. This is breakthrough year. You heard my wife pray. 2010 we proclaim because 10 is the number of completeness in the Bible. 10 has a circle in it, so that means it's complete. And we believe in this year that things in your life that have robbed you of things in your life, all your life, will end this year in completeness, and that you'll break through into a brand new year. And so we're excited about it. Amen. This is supernatural breakthrough year for us. But on the other hand, I'm concerned. I'm really concerned that some of the people here at Abundant Life will not see that breakthrough. And one reason they won't see the breakthrough is they can't see the breakthrough because they see the way the world's going. And they judge themselves and the church in light of the world. The world, we know, is in trouble. But see, when you understand that you're not, because you're in a different kingdom, you can see the doors open. You can hear the Lord open the doors and you can go through them. So here we are. We stand here today and there's some of us breaking through and there's some of you that's not. And so I want to preach to you and preach to me because I've got some issues I need to break through in my own life. And what you need to recognize is that what's going on in the world is going to, you won't understand this, but maybe you will when I get through. What's going on in the world will stimulate something that God has promised to us that will cause us to have the greatest breakthrough in the church in history. I'm excited because when you see this, you'll see what's going on in the world is not necessary what the devil's doing. Amen. You'll see this here in Haggai. It's a sad thing when you can't tell the difference between a believer talking and an unbeliever talking, especially when they're faith people. I mean, it just seems like everybody's worried. Yeah. Everybody is in, not everybody, but a lot of God's people, a lot of you sitting in the church are worried about the conditions of the world. We complain. Anybody know about complaining? Y'all going to help me. I'm going to preach anyway in a minute. Does anybody know about complaining? Anybody ever read the Bible? What happened to Israel when they complained? No. God opened the... When they complained and God got tired of it, He opened up the ground and swallowed them all. Your complaining will swallow you up. Amen. People are worried about the future. Now, we should be concerned about it. We should look at it and know what we need to do. But a lot of people are worried about the future. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. How many of you believe what Jesus said? Amen. I'll take Jesus' word over anybody's word. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 34, take therefore no thought. For tomorrow. You're going to make me preach, right? For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Jesus said, don't even take a thought about the future. What Jesus said. Place somebody and say, that's what Jesus said. Don't worry about tomorrow. The Message Bible makes it even plainer. Listen to this. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. I like that. God will help us when the hard times come. Amen. And it can get worse. But God's going to help us. Amen. You hear this verse all the time around here. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Don't turn. It's from the Good News Translation. It says, I alone, this is God, I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Amen. Y'all talking about a safe place? My God. When you're resting in the Lord, it's safe. Amen. Safest place you can be is in the Lord. Can I hear amen? Amen. Paul tells it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. One translation said, don't be anxious in nothing. But in everything, say everything. Everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. If I could sell the peace of God, I'd be rich today. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep you, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you can't keep your heart and mind by yourself. Only God can help keep your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. As a believer, it's God's job to settle our heart. And as a believer, we're supposed to believe that He can. Can I hear amen? How do we reposition ourselves? How do we get to the place? How does some of us get back to the place or get to the place where at the end of the day, we're confident that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus? See, it's important at the end of the day you still have faith. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Is important in your life. That when you go to bed, you have enough confidence in God that He's kept you that day. And when you wake up tomorrow, it's still going to be all right. Amen. Stay that with me. It's still going to be all right. I give you a little insight. If you help me preach, you might see my hair mess up today. Amen. I feel a roll coming on. Amen. I feel a run coming on. Amen. See, I tell you what, we'll get there in a minute. Haggai, you right there? The title of my message is just what I'm going to say. I feel something coming. I feel something coming. You can talk, brothers talk, I feel something coming down the pipe. And it's good.
Good.
Shout with me, it's good.
It's good.
Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. This is the prophet, a minor prophet called Haggai. And Haggai is prophesying. And I believe he's prophesying about this moment. About this season of time right now. He said in verse 6, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts," this is God speaking, "yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations." Say all.
All.
That means not one left out. I will shake all nations. This is God speaking. He didn't say the devil would shake them. He said, "I'll shake the nations. And the desire of all nations shall come." Let's stop right here. Now I want you to listen, because I'm on an assignment today to save some of your lives. I'm like in a boat now. I see you swimming, and you're going down, and you're coming up, and you're going down, and this is my day now to send a life thing. What do you call those? Life what? Not a, it's a round thing, not a vest. Life. You call them vest?
Preserver.
Yeah, life preserver. Thank you, EOE. Life preserver. Throwing it out to you. You're drowning in the world's condition. Many of you are. Many of you, especially if you're in business for yourself, because you're tied up in the condition of the world. And guess what? The world's condition is in a curse. You got to understand that. You have to loosen your money up out of that world.
Yeah.
You can't expect that world to produce for you.
Yeah.
You expect God to produce you.
Yeah.
And you have to loosen that money up in the name of Jesus. I know I've owned three businesses. The church is a business. You don't like to think that, but the church is a business. If you don't get it, we don't get it. So guess what? I spent a lot of time loosening it up for you. Now I want you to begin to get it loosed up for you. Hey, say this with me. Money cometh to me. In Jesus' name. Now before you judge me, my last name's not Dollar, and I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm a faith preacher. But the spotlight is on the world today. And the world's financial condition is in turmoil. It's being shaken. Every nation, Europe, Asia, Greece, many of the nations are on the headlines today. The finances are being squeezed and shaken. The United States of America, the land of the free, the most powerful nation in the world, our money system is being squeezed and shaken. It seems like we don't have the answer for all the questions of finances. But how many of you know God does? And I want you to see, it'll help you, it'll give you faith to understand what's happening in the world is going to shake out something that will produce a mighty breakthrough in the house of the Lord. I mean, you got to understand that. Amen. I don't know why we're so surprised at the condition of the world when Haggai said right here, sooner or later, I'm going to shake the nations of the world.
Yes.
And us faith folk just can't see that the end is near. And when the end is near, there's going to be a shaking.
Amen.
But guess what? I don't have to rattle and roll with it. Amen. We're not supposed to rattle and roll with it. We're supposed to stay in... Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're supposed to be in position. Say position. We have to realign ourselves to the Word of God. Amen. To know that we're in a safe place. Shout safe place. I don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said in the Bible, I'm going to shake all the nations. It's in the Bible. I'm going to do it. I'm going to shake. Look at verse 7 again. While the shaking is going on in the nations, God is also going to do something for us. Amen. How many know God can do two things at once? Verse 7 says, I will shake the nations, and the desire of all nations will come, and, say and. Right when the shaking's going on, and comes. And I will fill my house Hey.
Hey.
I will fill my house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
While the nations are shaken,
yeah,
the house is being filled with His glory. But you can't see that if your focus is on the shaking. Our focus is on the glory, the filling of the house. And when we talk about the glory of the house, we're talking about the majesty of God, the character of God, the holiness of God, the awesome power of God, the wealth of God. Everything that God is His glory. I tell you, I'm getting happy now. While the shaking's going on over here, it's what God said, the Word. Over here, the house is getting full of the character of God. The glory of God. Woo. You know, I preach against feelings. You've heard me say that so many times. If all you know is the feeling of God, then you don't know much at all. Because sometimes you don't feel God and you think He ain't there. But I'm telling you, it's a wonderful, woo, mighty thing when you know God's there and you feel God's there. Oh my. I mean, that'll quicken your body. It'll add years. I mean, you'd be so tired, but when you know and that you know and that you feel, then you know. I mean, and you know and you feel. Man, I mean, a mighty force takes over you. Like a rushing mighty wind. Amen. Hallelujah. My daddy used to say it's like spinach when it's like spinach to Popeye when Bruto was getting after Popeye. Oh, some of you young folks don't know about Popeye, but we grew up with Popeye and that spinach. And when Bruto get after Popeye, he'd reach out and that spinach come out of his pocket and jump in that can. And he'd eat that spinach out of that can and he'd get up and beat the mess out of Brutus.
Yeah.
Amen, Brutus. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. That's what the anointing will do. It's like spinach in your soul. Hallelujah. How many of you eat spinach? You ought to eat it. I mean, you'll have a good bowel movement if you eat it. Amen. Get all that nasty stuff out of you. Turn to somebody and say, you need to eat spinach. Amen. Got iron in it. Got iron in it. My mama used to open those cans up. Oh, my goodness. That stuff is green as green can be. She'd open those cans up. She wouldn't even put much in it. Put that thing on a boiler and eat that stuff. Oh, mama, mama. Amen. Mama knew what was going on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God, say God, is shaking the nations and they're being shook, turn on the TV. You already got it on. Get off Days of the Lives and watch the news a little bit. You ain't going to learn no kind of shaking there but the behind. Go look. I'm drunk. Just give me a minute. All right, Mama. I'm calm down. I embarrassed myself last week and I got to calm down. I got to get ready for go on the internet and I got to clean my show up a little bit. Or we're going to have hire somebody to go that line. Beep, beep, beep. He meant to say this. Amen. There's a shaking going on. Now you're a fool if you don't know it. You're blind and can't see. Shaking over here, God says. But at the same time, say same time. Same time. Same time, not shame. Same time. God is filling His house with His glory. See, now I don't focus on this, Pam. I'm focusing on this right here. Well, preacher, you got most of your seats empty. I don't give a flying flip. That ain't my job to fill them up. The glory of God is here. That's all I'm concerned with. Hey, glory to God. If you get the glory in the house, they'll come and see the glory. Shakabola. God said, I'm going to squeeze the nations over here. But over here, that's where we're at. Hey, I'm going to loosen myself into that place. Squeeze, loosen. That's a good place. Over there. Amen. Let me give you this revelation. No money has left this planet.
No, sir.
I don't care what they're telling you. Stock market can go to poop. The money went somewhere. Shout that with me. The money went somewhere. Brother Jerry deals with it every day. The money don't disappear and goes out and burns up. It goes to somebody's hands, right? Ain't one dime left this planet in the last 1,000 years. It's still in the planet. Ha ha! Give me a ha ha! Lord, we just got to know where it's at. It's simple. While somebody over here is losing money, somebody over here is gaining money. I'm over here. Simple. Haggai said that. God said, when I'm shaking the nations, I'm filling my house with the glory. Now, you want to know what the glory is? Blow your mind. Look at verse 8. We thought it was all, it was a tingle. Now, I don't know if you can handle this or not. Buckle down. Over here, squeeze. Financial trouble America's never had in its history. Except the Great Depression. And those men and women had sense during those days. You know, sense. Many millionaires came out of that. Actually, most of the money was transferred just to a few folk. Now wake up, folks. Please understand this. There's people in this world. I know you can't handle this. There's a few people in this world that's directing this whole thing. There's some plutocrats. You know what a plutocrat? Plutocrat is a filthy, 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 nasty, filthy rich person. There's some plutocrats somewhere, my dictionary, that are dictating all this. All this stuff going on. There's a squeeze. There's a loose. There's a financial burden. Oh, there's a burden of having too much. Now see, that's a realm that most people never get in. When you have too much. Some of y'all are so sad this morning. You're the people living over there. You need to move. Turn and tell somebody, you need to move. You need to go over here. You need to move from over here. Over here. Over here. Over here. God never shakes his people. He shakes the nations. That are greedy. That in all they know is the systems of this world. They don't know the God of heaven and earth. Wow. It's so peaceful over here. Amen. See, verse 8. The silver is mine. God wants you to know that. While the shaking going on, he interrupts this thing. After he says, the shaking over here will fill my house with the glory, he wants us to know something in verse 8. He wants us to say, the Lord wants me to know this. Say that with me. That the silver is mine. And the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. You got to get a hold of this. The silver is mine and the gold is mine. While the systems of the nations are being choked of the silver and gold, God says at the same time, say same time, my house is being filled with, well, come on now. My house is being filled with the glory. And verse 8 tells us what glory he's talking about. He wouldn't interrupt himself like he didn't know what he's talking about. He said, I'm just going to give y'all a little hint of what my glory is when I'm shaking the nation. Because the nations are being shaken financially. Right? I mean, we fight in AIDS and all that, but that's not the crisis right now. You don't very seldom hear about AIDS. What you're hearing about now is what? Money, 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 money. The euro's going down. The dollar is all-time low. Our credit rating for our nation is being looked upon and might be downgraded. There's a shaking of the financial nations of the world. And the Lord said, at that time, and that's what's happening right now. Say right now.
Right.
Us as believers, we are to focus on what God said He would be doing at that time. He said, at that time, I, God, am going to fill my house with my glory. And my glory is silver and gold.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
You see, here's the thing now. The silver, and just to make it right, the silver and gold is not lining your pocket with it all. And he ain't said no gold dust or no silver dust. You run all over the world on these crazy meetings and say, we seen gold dust. I don't need no gold dust. I need some real gold. Quit the gold dust. You can't spend gold dust. What's that going to help you for?
Come on, preacher.
The gold and the silver is so we'll have it when the end times comings. They're going to come from afar. The nations of the world are going to come for rescue. And because we're compassionate and because we love the creations of God and because we have the love of God, we're going to give them some silver and gold.
Yes.
And not only that, because the church needs it to continue. When Israel left Egypt, they spoiled Egypt, the Bible says. They convinced the Egyptians to give them gold and silver so they could build a temple. When they got out there with no job, they had no resources, they had the gold and the silver to build the temple for the Lord so God would come down and talk to them. Now, whether you want to admit it or not, God talks better when your pocketbook is full. I know that wasn't going to go over. I lost my home 4 years ago, all my cars, everything I had. So I know what I'm talking about. I wasn't a happy camper, even though I was a man of faith. It wasn't an easy thing to go through. Me and my wife, we were just falling to pieces. And I drugged myself in many cases to the pulpit. And one day we're crying and we came in and we knelt. There was over there, the little small auditorium. We said, we can't take this no more. We're at the end. So we said, what we're going to do, we're going to kneel down right there together. Me and her were the only one in the building. And we're going to cry and we're going to complain if we need to. We're going to talk to God like a dog if we have to. We're just going to get it out of us today. And when we get up from here, honey, we both agreed. When we get up from this, we're going to know what to do. And when we leave this position, we'll never shed another tear over our circumstance, the financial circumstance.
That's right.
And we did that. I mean, it was rough. I mean, we spent a lot of snot time. I mean, ugly. We went through Lord, you remember I did this? Check my checkbook, Lord. You know where my money goes. You know I give more than 10. I went through the whole thing. But when I got through, glory to God. We got through. We dried our nose. We hugged one another and we said, it's over with.
Amen.
It's over with. I think I might even, I don't know if I quoted, but I felt like quoting what Job said. I came in naked, I'll go out naked. Glory to God. Whatever, I'm going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
God gave us a plan instantly to take $500 and take an offering of our church. Now, I don't think our tithe was much more than that. Take up an offering, take the $500 down to Florida. Jerry Savelle was down there and give it to him and believe.
Believe.
And we took up that $500, we got down to Florida. I don't think we could even stay. We'd have no money for, I don't remember exactly, but probably we didn't have enough money to stay. We come back home, and I'm telling you, we came back home, and then immediately our offerings began to pick up. And then the Lord gave us another word, how to loosen the money from the devil.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He said, tell me what you want. And so we told our father what amount we needed. I think we were taking in something like $1,500. We needed $3,000 a week to exist, and we were half there. And so we agreed on $3,000, and we told the Lord we need $3,000. The second step is to tell the devil to loosen it. The third step is to send forth the ministering spirits and angels of God to go pick it up and bring it in. They're our heirs to minister to the children of God. And then you praise God like you have it. So we did that on the way somewhere. We went a little trip. And we began to praise God, and immediately that weekend, I'm telling you, that weekend, without another member in the church, I think we had 30 people. Our offering that weekend was exactly $3,000. Now, I'm not telling some fairy tale I read. I'm not talking about some 30 years ago. I'm talking about some 3 years ago, right here in this place. And ever since, that tithes and offering has never been below $3,000. And it's increased, tripled, almost tripled that even to this day. Well, y'all ought to get excited on that. That we ain't having to beg you for money. We ain't having no yard sales, and we ain't having no chicken sales. And for you that visiting, this building here, just brand new, is paid for. $1.5 million. Don't owe a dime on it. Glory to God. It don't compute. Somebody asked, how many, I told somebody the other day on the phone what the victory we have and what God's done. You bragging mighty right, I'm bragging. I'm bragging on God. Been preaching faith for 30 years, dadgum and all the work. And it does work. He said, how many members you got? You built a building 1.5. He'd wait for me to tell him 3,000, 2,000. I said, one by one, we don't have membership. We're all one body. Ain't but one church in this whole county. It's called the Church at Newnan of the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, we run about 100. What? How'd you raise the money? I said, we didn't. We just built it and the money came. It don't compute. Amen. It's above all we could ever ask to think. Glory to God. I just wanted to give you that little testimony, all right? Amen. I know where I'm at. I'm somewhere right here. Verse 8. Silver and gold is mine, saith the Lord. While the choking is going on. I know some of you in bad need today, but I'm telling you, you got to listen to this. Because God requires payment always ahead of time. In other words, if you want your healing, you got to shout on being healed before you get it. If you want your finances to be blessed, you got to shout like you're a $1 million man when you ain't got a dime in your pocket. Especially now, I'm painting a picture of what's going on in our nation right now. There's a choke and a squeeze going on with the nation, but there's a financial miracle in the making for the house of the Lord. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. You may not be able to. I'm just fired up this morning. You are stupid. If you get out of church now, you're stupid. If you turn your back on God right now, you're the stupidest person in the world. You don't know nothing about what's going on. All you know is you've been looking at the world system and said, I might as well give up. I'm tired of it. God ain't true to His word. Baloney bull. You don't even know what God's doing. My wife said He's working on your behalf right now. You don't even know it. Shoot. Rodney, if God can keep you alive, has kept you alive with all your foolishness all your life, what are you trembling over your pocketbook for?
Come on, preacher.
Come on now.
I got to get plain.
God
brought you from dope, brought you from the mafia, brought you through all the times you should have died. You beat people up. They beat you up. They shot at you. They hit you. They kicked you around. And God kept you safe to this moment. Will you please quit being worried over your pocketbook? You got your soul. You got your life. Your life's more than worth a dollar.
Yeah.
I know you're not hard of hearing. You're stupid. All you people wanted to quit. You better get that quit out of you. You're quitting at the wrong time. You wanted to quit. You did a quit a year ago. Don't quit in a breakthrough year. Are you just stupid? Are you crazy? Or you just don't believe God? Are you trying to... You may not even be saved. You better get right. I told my wife, the 30 years we've been in this thing and we've lost everything and we've seen things you wouldn't even know about. We never have entertained a minute to quit. Quit is not, should not be in a person's life. Because it's in your life, you will quit. You need to tie yourself to a tree. You need to get down on your knees and you need to pray through and get that quit out of you. It ain't time to quit. It's time to make sure you're in the house. Woo! I wouldn't miss a thing. I wasn't a preacher all my life. My wife, I was the most faithful one. I never missed church. Church is my life. When me and Jeff was running the roads, doing all our meanness and doing all of them, we never missed church. Dear God, we said one time if we got out of church, we still tithe. We just believe that much in tithing. We believe in God. And if a man's hooked up with God, that's all he needs. It ain't time. Don't entertain. It ain't time to cave in. Quit. Makes me so mad. People say, I'm going to quit. Well, go ahead and quit. I told somebody the other day, go ahead. Don't disappoint people any longer. Just quit. Don't. Just go quit. You can quit. Dear God, I'll give you a kick. Get out of here. You ain't going to be no effective for God. You're going to be a weight. You're going to be, people are going to look at you. You're building a testimony and then you want to quit. It'd be all right. I already had you giving. I ain't just preaching to y'all. I already talked to y'all. Amen. They here today. They ain't quitting, but they going through hell. Yeah, but right past the hell is heaven. Victory. Victory is on the horizon. Now, if you can't do nothing else, go back a fishing, man. You can win some money in tournaments. Hey, I know the squeeze on. God said it would be. I'm going to squeeze the nations. If you're tied to the world system, there's a squeeze on. If you've not learned yet that you have to demand your money out of the world, command it out of the sinner's hand. Commanded out of the world system. The world system is cursed. It's greedy. It wants to hold the money. So you're going to have to use your faith to get the money out. That's how we built this building. We didn't build this building off of chickens and off of really people. We used our faith.
Yeah,
we did. Y'all ought to be the greatest faith people in the world. You that sit here in that old shabby building or was in the storefront with one bathroom and you could smell it when people used it. You ought to be shouting. You ought to be running around. You ought to be saying, I see the glory. I see the glory. I see the goodness. I see what faith will do. Shaka-bola. You want to know why Jeff gets up so much? Jeff showed up at my doorstep in this church. And he said the words to me. He said, I'm going to work for the church. Pay me if you get the money.
Yeah, he did.
That's what he did. I said, okay, buddy, you better believe. So that's when they were no money. It's when we were losing everything. He said, I'm not going to work anymore for the world. I know where I ought to be. I know where my place is. And you just obey God. And I think I started paying you something like $300. And you made $600 or $700 at the workforce. Did you miss a week?
No.
Did you make more than $300 a day?
Yep. Not
a
day.
Today? What do you do with a man that ain't afraid to get hungry? Now, don't all y'all show up at the steps. No. That's my brother. If he needs something, he's going to get it. He's a brother. But at the time, there was no money. Look now. I am so happy to be at this place in my life. I watched my daddy. He pastored 36 years. Died at the age of 75 in depression. Living off welfare. But I thank God today. I don't owe a dime. My house is paid for. My church is paid for. And I'm living off the blessing of the Lord. I can die in peace. I had to open up a thrift store so my daddy and mama could pay for their medicine. I had to let my mama live. My mama lived with me. They had not a dime after preaching 36 years. But look how good God's been to me. I can leave. I have an inheritance for my children. My two grandbabies, my goodness. When Papa leaves this world, they ain't going to worry about nothing. Well, thank you. That's what I believe. And I get what I believe.
Amen.
I'm sorry to some of you that might want me to lose. I don't lose with the stuff I use. I don't. They people down in Griffin been praying a long time for me and you to slip up, fell up, but no, man. I think about, man, that how much we had to struggle when we bought that baby grand piano. You remember that? Had to sell chickens, hamburgers, to get up enough money to make payments on a, listen here, this thing sitting here. It's a $30,000 piano. It was paid cash for. No chicken died. I ain't going to tell your story. I ain't going to let them know how wealthy you are. They'll be after your money. You're not married. Them old man will be after her. But God ain't gonna provide no piano like that unless you got something inside of you, man.
Amen.
Oh, I gotta finish this thing. Whew. It's the worst possible place. It's the worst possible time for a person right now to give up. Why is shaking over here? I need to say it again. Why shaking over here, squeezing, financial trouble. Over here, in the house, in God's house. And you are the house, really. We'll get to that later. They ain't no shaking. There's a loosening. God never, write this down somewhere, God never forgets the seed sown. He's the greatest husband man, a garden man, the earth, the world's ever known. Yeah. God doesn't have a relapse in memory. He don't have to take vitamins to keep his mind going. Whatever sowed in secret comes out in a great harvest. This is our time. When the shaking's going on over here, do I need to do it again? What's going on over here? The glory of the Lord. Now see, here's the good thing. This is God doing over here. See, we don't manufacture this. So you got to understand that. We don't have to add no lights. We don't have to buy no more microphones to get God to come. Nice to have them. Nice to have the lights. He said, I'm filling my house. And this is not the only house. He's filling his house all over the world, all over the nation. Those that will listen to the voice of God and not be focused on the shaking, but focusing on the releasement. God said, I'm filling that place with myself. Boy, howdy. Our responsibility is. What am I saying? Our responsibility is while this shaking is going on, we make sure we stay in the house. When the storm comes in the natural, do you leave the house or you stay in the house? Amen. Even if you have to get under the bed. The house. Dummies, the house. Not you, dummy. Some dummy might listen to this. You stay in the house. I remember my daddy used to laugh about what he did to his mother. His mother had a home with the tin roofs on it, and in those days, you ought to be in here when it's raining real hard sometimes, especially if it's hailing with this tin roof. And as young boys, they like to torment their mother, my grandmother. And when hail came, my grandmother would always get under the bed. And so him and his brother decided they'd play a good trick. And they went outside and got rocks. Hundreds of rocks, and started throwing them up on the top, and it was at a window they could watch Grandma. It was the top was caving in. Instead, that Grandma, their mother, she started hollering and screaming, "The storm gonna blow me away!" Wasn't nothing but rocks, and she ran and got under the bed, and when she found out, she whooped the living daylights out of her. She liked to have a heart attack. But what I wanted to tell you that even in the storm, you don't run outside the house. You got enough sense to know. You go outside, you look, you close the doors. If you have to, you go in the basement. You don't look out there you run out there in the middle of the storm and be shaken and carried away. Well, why would we want to do that in the spirit? When the storm is raging, we go to the house, and the house is the safest place. This is the safe place. You guys didn't know you were prophetically talking yesterday. This is a safe place. Over here. Where? Where am I going? Over here, over here. Right here. Say right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm fixing the clothes. Say he's fixing the clothes. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 10. I got a couple of more, and we're going to bring this thing to a close. I done snotted enough. See, here's one thing you got to learn. You, as a child of God, you got to learn there's a difference between them and us. I know you got to be kosher. You got to be politically correct. You got to grab everything and everybody and throw them in a big pot and stir it up and all this stuff. You got to hire these kind of people. You got to do all these things. At the work, they try to tell you that you got to be good to certain kind of people regardless. I know all that's going on, but God has always separated people. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The whole book talking about. And I ain't talking about black and white people. I'm talking about characters. I'm talking about people. Buzzards. Say buzzards. The buzzards don't fly out with eagles. They can't fly that high. Amen. There's a difference between them and us. Here in Exodus chapter 10. You need to see this. God takes care of his own. Look at verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hands towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt three days. Now look how dark it was. They saw not one another. God. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had lights in their dwelling. I don't care how many lights turn off over here. Over here, I'm going to have me some lights. Because I'm one of his.
Right.
And he takes care of his own.
Right.
Now some of you ought to turn off some of them preachers on TV that are telling you how bad it's going to get. And how you got to send them $1,000 to get some of their blessing. Or are they going to send them some money so they'll take you in with them under their prayer shawl? I'm going to tell you something. If it gets bad enough, they forget where the prayer shawl at. They'll run somewhere themselves. No, you are a child of God. You belong to God. You don't have to pay for these things. They belong to you because you're not over here. You're over here. If you're in Egypt, then you're in bad shape. If you're out of Egypt, you're in the land of Goshen, you're going to have light. Shout with me, I'm going to have light.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Woo,
thank
you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I know some of you have a hard problem thinking like that because you're so close to the world.
You know
what's in a person when they say things. Be careful. And I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. That's why you don't see me a lot on Facebook. I don't. If I commented, there'd be nobody on there. And I'm not getting on you. I'm trying to help you. I'm saving your life. Because I'm telling you, I know more than you know. You're right at the verge of breakthrough. God is doing things for you. You have no idea. You are still alive, and as long as you're alive, there's hope. As long as your children are not, nobody's in the morgue, nobody's dying. So whatever situation is coming on us, we can have a breakthrough with it. Glory to God. Let me tell you something, honey. Hey, I'm talking to you. Let me tell you something. You know better. You know where God's taking you. Zip your zipper or your mouth up. And you listen to God, and God's going to bring you up and out.
Yeah.
When you went to your Lord, did God bless you? He's going to bless you again, young'un.
Yeah.
I see you up here. I know you're shouting in faith. I know you're singing in faith. I know you are. God knows it too. And your moment is here. Glory to God.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's here. Oh, you're writing a testimony.
Oh, yeah.
Miriam, there's a testimony in your house to be told. It ain't over to the fat lady. It ain't over to somebody saying. It ain't over. It ain't over. Shakabola. Shakamola. Mestigita. It ain't over. I don't need that right now, Lord. I got to finish. I don't want that. I know. How's it been? Money, I thought. My. Your responsibility. This is all you got to take care of, Rodney. All you got to take care of. All you that's in dire need, and a lot of folk are here. Story after story after story, tale after tale after tale. If you're in business, unless, I don't know, I'm not going to even say that. A lot of business is in trouble. Churches are in trouble. My preacher friends, they don't know how they're going to pay their light bills. I got a preacher friend. I've light bill $1,700. Somebody said, oh, I got a preacher friend. His light bill is $5,000 a month. His church payment is $20,000 a month. And a month ago, his offering was $1,500. There's a shaking going on. But all we got to major on is that we stay in the house. And you never met a man like me, I'll take you any way I get you. You never seen a merciful man like me. It's all going to be all right. If everybody's life in here was shown on the screen, we'd be so embarrassed today. There ain't no big it's here. Ain't no little it's here. They ain't, you know, a bunch of saved perverts. That's all we are. We're just saved by the grace of God. Most of us would be in living hell today if God hadn't touched us. That's what I like about this church. None of you can cast a stone because none of you little is white. This is a safe place. This is a safe place. I will fight for your life. I will go to bat for your life. This is a safe haven for the weary. Shakabola. Shakabola. Be seated. I'm closed. I told you I'm having fun, man. I'm getting ready to go to Cabo. Hallelujah. Make sure this is safe before I leave. You just don't know. That front line right there. Y'all know where we came from. When y'all get your act together, you'll get it. Because y'all know where, y'all know. Y'all really know because you've seen it. You're like the apostles. You can't tell me about Jesus. I was there. I was there when they crucified my Lord. And I was there when we went to the grave on that morning. And he wasn't there no more. I was there. You can't tell me nothing about Jesus. I was there when we was praying in the upper room and he walked through that door. And even old Thomas had to eventually say, you can't tell me about Jesus. I saw his handprint. I saw his footprints. You can't tell nobody tell you about this place because you saw it. Then you ought to be flying high.
That's right.
I just go ahead and tell you right in front of everybody. I had a vision of you and one other man. And I saw you pulling about 3,000 pounds of weight. Sweating like a dog. And on those weights was a tag. And the tag said, anger. You're a very angry man. You need some help. It was you and him. I told him. And I told you because I love you. Until you guys get the anger out, I don't know what it takes. See, I've never had that. I've never been in a fight. I'm non-violence. But you guys know. You've whooped up on men. You've pulled them out of cars because they shot you a bird. I may say a few choice words, but I wouldn't roll down the window and pump them in the head. Y'all have.
Start loose.
Until you get that anger out. Whatever. I don't know what. I don't know. I know the Word of God can do it. Standing in the presence of God, you ought to not be angry. You've been here 14 years. But I saw you. I know you're angry inside. You're angry about your whatever. And, you know, we got counselors in this church. I wouldn't say send you somewhere send you somewhere somebody got book learning on how to counsel a person. But you need to go somewhere and talk to somebody and dig up what that root is and beat the, cut that sucker. Cut it up. Because it's going to kill y'all. It's going to rob you of your life. Because the Bible says without holiness, no man will see God. And holiness is peace. That's agreement with God. And God never designed us as Christians to be angry. Take no thought about nothing. You see, I'm talking to y'all, but y'all listening. Here's the thing. Used to be when you got angry, you go get drunk. Go spend some money, go get drunk, go beat somebody. You see, you can't do that no more. That's one reason that makes you a little angry. What can I do now? I got to face this circumstance. All I'm going to tell you to do is what happened to me. I didn't have my anger, but I had I had anger about the church, different kind of anger. I shut myself in. From my family, from my wife, I drank no water. I drank water and ate no food. I called Jeff Merritt up on the phone and I said, "Brother, don't you hear God?" I cried tears as big as my finger. They thought I was cracking up. What God was doing was squeezing my heart, getting all that stuff of being in church for 31 years out of me. All the religion, all the things I've seen. Y'all may have to do some fasting. Some breakthrough stuff. And when you get the peace, you get the stuff. God does not give you the stuff without the peace being there. I love you. You're my son. You've done more for me, Lee. And my ache for you and your wife. I'm on pins and needles all the time that y'all going to bust up, break up, leave. And y'all been here from day one. You've sowed, you've told me my Bibles. You swept. Dina still cleans the church. Nobody's ever walked in any of our churches, whether they're big or small, where would they ever smell the bathroom? Because she cleans like it is to God. I'm telling you, you better get right. Both of you. If we have to tie you up, some of us men take y'all down in the woods and fast a week with you. Tie you on a tree, give you enough water just to keep alive to get that out of you. If you can't get out of it, we'll keep you on the tree. I'm telling you by God. I'm telling you, you're in the shaking. That's where you got to get out of the shaking. You got to get over here. This is where you got to be, Lee. You got to be in the safe place. When I don't hear from you, I know you're not in the safe place. You don't call me no more. You don't check on me no more. You don't talk to me no more. You don't talk to nobody because you're being shut. Just sit right there till I finish the sermon. Both of y'all right over there. Sit over there. If you need to be in the safe place, you're not. Come sit by them. There it is right there. If you've been beat up by the world, you've been tormented by the world, sit down over here. We're having church today. Sit down over here. Sit down over there. Sit down over there. You might need to sit here all day. We'll get you a McDonald's. I'm telling you, when we were in that move of God and God was straightening me and Jeff out, we were the last ones to leave the altar. My daddy would lock the church up, turn the lights on. And you know who would be at the altar? Me and Brother Jeff praying through, getting that junk out of us. I told people I used to have to take a cassette tape and glue it almost to my ears. I was tormented in my mind. I wore it night and day. I wore out tape machines. I wore out tape just listen to who I am in Jesus. How God loves me. How He appreciates me because nobody ever loved me. My daddy even ran me away from the church. Told me I was preaching the wrong thing. So I had to saturate myself with the love of God. My God loves me. He loves y'all. Hey. The only thing you can do about this sermon is stay in the safe place. Stay in the safe place. Hey. God's taking it, believe it or not, from here. And He's putting it over here. That's called transfer. One more scripture. Two, then we close. Proverbs 13, 22 says, don't turn now, I got to hurry. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. That's where it comes. You've heard that all a lot. When is that going to happen? It's happening right now. I'm telling you, it's happening right now. Go study history. Some of you that's in business and have money, study history in the times of the shaking. That's when the money was elevated out of the hands of one and put into another person. You can't be fretful because you're not over here. Linda, you're not over here. You're over here, Linda. You're on the way to the billion flow over here. Glory to God. We can't be shaken. We can't lose. Time to have another meeting with your man, and you tell him, and you read that scripture to him, Haggai. You tell him what Haggai said. It's shaking over here, gentlemen, but God's filling the house, my house, with His glory, and His glory is silver and gold, so get on it. Don't be fearful about my business. There's money to be made, churches to be built, TV programs to be on. People to help. People to help. People to help. These people need help. We're so poor we can't help them. Well, they ain't acting right. That ain't none of your business. Until you can say next, you're not going to get nothing anyway.
That's right.
Somebody gets blessed, you don't think I ought to be blessed, you start running your mouth, it's keeping the blessings off your life. Somebody gets blessed, you don't think I ought to be blessed, you just say next. If that's all you can say, next. Go read the God next. Don't you be over there talking about somebody. Yours is on the way. God gave Sherry a word a couple of weeks ago, or is it changing for you, Sherry? You know why? You in the house. That never happened to you if you're not in the house. Everybody point right here. That's where you got to be. Check me out. I'm on home day. Amplified says this. The good man leaves inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner, listen, finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Okay, I got to go, Pam. Dad, man, I got to go. I got to go. But this is your part right here. I waited all day to get to your part. Let me read this. Listen, this is the good stuff. Zechariah chapter 2. Let me just read this. Flip. It says this. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be spoiled to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Verse 10 is what I want you to see. This is where we ought to live. Because we know the shaking's going on, and we know where the shaking is good. The results of the shaking is that God is filling His house with His glory. Verse 10 says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Sing and rejoice. When this is going on, our job is to sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand up, stand up. I ain't gonna stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 minute. 1 minute. Let me wrap it up. 1 minute. 1 minute. Let me stay up. If you stay up, I'll quit. Listen. When you find the word sing in the Old Testament, you most likely can translate it to celebrate.